And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. I want to ask you something, Dave, whether you believe, whether the evidence proves, does it always work itself out? Do you need planning? Do you need strategy? Or do things always work themselves out? You're a lawyer. If you're you go to court.
If you're lucky or there's no real impediment to them working themselves out.
No, you're sidestepping it. You're sidestepping it. Always means always. You can't have luck because luck means not always, right? Yeah. Can't have impediments because impediments means not always. But Donald Trump says you don't need to have a plan because things always work themselves out. And that's really the plan of the administration's whole policy, isn't it? Across the board?
Well, he doesn't have an administration of plans.
That's right. Or of plans.
Or of competent people to carry out whatever plans they have.
Well, they had a plan he had a great idea to gerrymander wherever he could.
Yes.
And that way it wouldn't matter who went to vote because the districts would be so rigged that only Republicans could get elected, right?
Right.
And so he started to do that. How'd that work out?
Well, it's still playing itself out, and it's not playing itself out for the benefit of the Republicans. They lost this vote in Virginia the people said, although we Virginia had this independent commission type that set the district boundaries for the congressional districts. And the people went along this time. Not as big a margin as the Democrats have been winning things, but they went along and said, for now, we will allow the legislature to gerrymander again, in essence. Mm-hmm. So Virginia went from a 6-5 Democratic congressional delegation. Now it could go to 10-1, which would pretty much offset the Texas mm-hmm. situation. But these things have been going back and forth. Because California already had a referendum that did the same thing, and California's, they're going to pick up possibly 4 or 5 states, representatives rather than the Democrats. We're waiting to see what happens in Florida. That's the last big hope for the Republicans.
DeSantis. What they didn't take into account, but which occurred and which you could have taken into account, was that the effort to do the gerrymandering so enraged non-MAGA people that in states where gerrymandering doesn't come up, people are coming out to vote against the Republicans because they did gerrymander. So in Pennsylvania, right, you have a situation where there's 4 endangered Republican seats. And part of the reason that they're so endangered is not just because of how bad these Republican congressmen may be, but because people are just mad at the GOP and will take it out on them wherever they can by voting against them.
Yeah.
That they didn't take into account.
Yeah. That includes Bresnahan up in my district. Mm-hmm. I met with some people in Philadelphia this week, and they seem to think he's right at the top of the list. Now, the Cook Report says that Scott Perry's on the top of the list of the 4 to lose his seat. But Bresnahan's reputation for self-dealing in the stock market seems to have penetrated the whole Commonwealth. Also, one of the things that didn't seem to work itself out was the economy.
Right.
And James Carville's admonition back from the 1990s still holds true. That it's the economy, stupid. And Trump's, Trump math and real math are two different things. But he has not been able to lower prices on day one or day whatever we're at right now, and nor will he be able to. The prices keep going up. The cost of gasoline is roughly a buck more than per gallon than it was when he took over. It may come down somewhat, but it's not going to go back to where it was when he took over for a while. We're seeing that.
Well, the tariffs, the whole nonsense, nonsense propaganda about the tariffs. The tariffs are not paid by domestic people. The tariffs are paid by the producers, and therefore it's the Chinese who are going to pay the tariff, and it's not going to have anything to do in America except to enrich America all the more. When everybody who can who's educated beyond the fourth grade can understand that, of course, the consumer pays the tariff. The tariff may be fronted by the importer, but he immediately passes it on to the consumer. And the fact is that when the Supreme Court declared that the tariffs were unconstitutional and there has to be a restitution of what was paid in, it turns out that the importers who paid the tariffs and who then charged their consumers that money have no intention of returning that overcharge to the consumer. They're going to file for the rebate from the Treasury, and they're going to keep it. So in the end, you, me, everybody else who bought anything on these tariffs is going to be out. But Trump went around the country for the whole of the year saying, you're going to benefit. You're not going to pay anything. What a liar.
Yeah. These companies, you know, they wind up, they're turning this into a win-win for themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
They collected, although some of them didn't collect 100% of what the tariffs were, but now they're going to collect it all back.
Yeah.
Now they're going to get, plus, right. But don't forget that, you know, I mentioned the Trump math. We saw that on display again this week with Secretary RFK Jr., where he reiterated Donald Trump's thinking about the price of drugs, that if a drug costs $600 and you reduce it to $10, that's a 600% reduction in cost.
I know.
I mean, the basic fallacy, it's so hard to even try to argue against something that's that inherently nonsensical.
I know. I mean, 100% of something is all of it, every aspect of it, all of it, total.
Correct.
So a 600% reduction would mean six times all of it. It means that if you go to the store, the storekeeper is not going to charge you anything for the $10 item. He's going to give you $60 plus the item because you agreed to buy it. That's what a 600% reduction means. Who in his, I mean, Trump allegedly went to your school.
I know.
That's what, yeah, they, that's what they taught him.
I was out there this week, it's getting close to finals there. The one professor there said he was the dumbest SOB that he ever had to teach.
Well, I absolutely believe it, because I believe he believes it. I don't think he thinks he's trying to fool anybody when he talks about these ridiculous arithmetic numbers. I think that's what he thinks it is. How he thinks it's that way is beyond me, but I'm sure he believes it.
He likes to fool himself. And I've repeated a couple of times on this show that the thing I learned from Chris Christie a few months back was that Donald Trump told him that if you say it enough times or repeat it enough, it becomes true.
Well, that's what Goebbels said, right?
Well, Goebbels said that,
but Goebbels didn't believe it came true. He just believed people would believe it.
Right. And that's the difference. Trump, it's both, that he thinks he can get people to believe it, and in fact, it will be true.
Well, maybe Trump really is religious.
Sacrilegious, I think.
In the beginning was the word, right? In the beginning was the word, and the word became reality. So that's religion, right?
Yeah.
He may be more religious than you give him credit for.
Well, we know his God is the almighty dollar, or the almighty Bitcoin, or whatever he's making money on these days.
So speaking of making money, do you you know the story that's going around that he extorted, he negotiated for himself a 2.5% contractor's fee for building the ballroom? Do you think that's true? I mean, that would amount to $9 million at current budget of $400 million. Do you think that's possibly true, that he actually did that?
I think everything about it has potential to be true. I don't, he's of the mind nobody can stop me, that I've got the power to do this. Now, what he's going to claim is that the taxpayers aren't footing the bill for this. So it's not the taxpayers' money that he's taking. He's, essentially extorting these funds from the contractors who were, or the, not the,
well,
contractors,
no, the donors, funders, the donors,
the donors, the donors, the donors. Yeah.
But wait a minute, are the donors donating to a tax-exempt charity? In which case, all of it is tax-deductible, in which case we're paying for it.
I don't know.
Things work themselves out.
I don't think anybody knows, but if the Democrats take over Congress, these are going to be things that they're going to try to investigate. But you did see the story late in the week that he issued an executive order that contradicts the existing law that you must preserve all documents. And buried in this executive order was essentially permission. An implication that you could destroy documents,
right?
Or things,
because it gives the office holders the option to preserve it. If they have the option to preserve it, automatically they have the option to destroy it. If the one is true, the other must necessarily be true. Right. That's just simple logic that transcends 600%.
This reminds me of the scene in a really good movie, 13 Days, about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of the White House aides, Kenny O'Donnell, and goes around, and in the middle of these tense investigations, they go by the Russian embassy, and they see smoke coming out of the chimney and says they're burning their information, their spy books, and whatever. They think there's going to be a war. We have a rule in law that if you destroy relevant documents, or if you don't preserve things that are obviously should be preserved, that the jury can get a charge from the judge, what we call spoliation. And that is that you can infer that these documents or this information would have been unfavorable to the people who are destroying it, which is just plain logic.
Right.
Why destroy it if it's going to be favorable to you?
Right. Exactly. Well, it always works its way out, though. It works itself out.
Yeah, I'll tell you what else didn't work its way out. Apparently, this Powell investigation that they were going for, the so-called cost overruns on the building or on the renovation of the Federal Reserve Building. Finally, this week, they gave up on that, or supposedly the Justice Department gave up on that. Remember that Tom Tillis, the outgoing Republican senator from North Carolina, said he would not approve, his committee would not approve successor, Kevin Warsh, until this matter was resolved. So he seemed to have won that. Now, of course, Kevin Warsh came under some pretty hot fire this week, where he wouldn't answer pretty obvious questions that would be contradictory to Donald Trump's idea of things, the way things work out.
Will he get confirmed?
Now I think he will. Now I think he will.
So you see, things do work themselves out.
Except he didn't get Jerome Powell to be indicted.
That's true. That's true. He also hasn't gotten Jack Smith indicted.
No, he hasn't. But there, you know, he still has minions who are going to keep trying.
Right.
They're going to keep trying. The question is, who's going to head the Justice Department now that Pam Bondi's gone? Todd Blanche is, apparently trying to fight for the job. There's more rumors this week that they may pardon Ghislaine Maxwell, which would really, really, his base, the MAGA base, is already upset over their handling of the Epstein matter. This would, first of all, it would put it back on the front pages.
Right.
And second of all, the base would really go bonkers on this.
Well, you can't say that just because it seems monumentally stupid, therefore it won't be done. That's not a good argument, because they do lots of things that are in fact monumentally stupid. But what would be the reason for pardoning her? What would they think they would get out of it?
Yeah, that's a good question. They've already gotten some sort of a statement that Donald Trump wasn't involved in any of the pedophilia that went on or the sex trafficking. But it could create a new problem for them, because Ghislaine Maxwell, if she's called forward in an investigation, could not invoke her Fifth Amendment privilege. She's already been pardoned.
But she could lie.
She could lie, but if she lies, she's subject to perjury.
Who's going to pick her up on it? If her lie is, I never even saw Donald Trump, he was never there, who's going to go after her? The Donald Trump who's negotiating with the Justice Department that he leads over the $10 billion that he claims the government should pay him because Jack Smith investigated him? That Donald Trump?
That Donald Trump, except that the statute of limitations now would run past the term of Donald Trump.
So all the more reason to keep her in jail and not let her out.
Yeah. Yeah. That sort of thing. And Donald Trump's, negotiations with the, that Justice Department is something else that the judge is scrutinizing very carefully. The word collusion seems to be back in vogue on that sort of stuff.
If Ghislaine Maxwell, or Ghislaine, however you say her first name, gets out of jail at 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning, is there anything that would stop her from getting on an airplane at noon on Tuesday for, let's say, Rio?
No.
I would have said Dubai, but that's no longer a good place to go. But Rio is also a place where there's no extradition treaty, right?
I'm not sure, but I don't, maybe not.
I bet you she knows.
Yeah, she will. She will know wherever places.
Yeah, exactly.
There are.
But of course, the main place where things are not seem to need to work themselves out is Iran. Now, Iran doesn't seem to have worked. It's clear that he had no plan. It's clear that, the thing will resolve itself in 3 days. I'll kill all these guys, and then the rest of them will give up. End of story. What do I have to make a plan for?
Well, that was the Putin plan for Ukraine, right? The 3 days of overwhelming shock and awe, or whatever they call these things.
Yeah, right. Shock and awe. Well, that was what Powell called the invasion of Iraq.
Correct.
Shock and awe. But they didn't work. They didn't get shocked and awed. They maybe got shocked, but they didn't get awed.
Yeah, and that that thing still, you know, every day there's a new, we're going to have another round of negotiations. We're not negotiating. We are negotiating. We don't know who we're negotiating with.
But even when they negotiate, they're not negotiating, because the only negotiating stance that Trump allows his negotiators to have is unconditional surrender. The Iranians don't seem to feel the need to entertain that kind of an approach. They haven't been defeated.
Well, you've got two ideologues going at each other. I don't think that we've understood the fanaticism of this religiously inspired regime. That under no circumstances,
not we, them, Trump. He hasn't understood it. Many people understand it, right? You understand it. You got it. You follow it. You know the analogies that you can make between the people in power in Tehran and other ideological fanatics, like the people in power in Texas, right? So, yeah, only Trump doesn't, and his minions don't understand it or don't believe it. That they probably they may understand it, but they don't believe it.
Well, yeah, they're transactional, and everything is negotiable.
Right.
Except certain things may not be negotiable.
Right. There are people who don't believe that. That's exactly right. There's a saying that used to be honored in America that it's better to die on your knees, better to die on your feet than to live on your knees. That was a watchword of the anti-slavery struggle. That was a watchword of the resistance against the Nazis in Europe. There's a proverb in Yiddish like that. There's a song in Yiddish about it. But Trump doesn't believe that.
He doesn't know Yiddish.
He doesn't know Yiddish, right, exactly. Yeah.
But, we're going to be, I don't know how many shows in the future are saying the same thing about what's happening there, unfortunately.
I think you're right. But I think what we are seeing is the middle stages of the beginning of the disintegration of the Trump presidency. I mean, I think he's well into the lame duck period.
Yeah, his popularity is way, way down. It's at record lows. When you're at or below Jimmy Carter level, the thing is, we don't know how much he really cares about that. We know that some of his people don't care. Like, I don't think Stephen Miller cares at all. He's out there trying to do as much damage as he can do. The ones that are raking off, their financial gains, don't care. They're out there. We'll grab as much as we can, as quick as we can.
Right.
By the way, this week, you saw where that soldier got indicted for betting on the Maduro capture, because right. He had inside information that he was going to be one of the ones sent to capture him.
Right, right.
Killer capture. But he's the only one so far being prosecuted under those theories, the insider trading stuff.
But who's doing the prosecuting? Why is anybody prosecuting this guy? What did he do that Trump didn't do?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Only the little guys. It's like Leona Helmsley. Only the little guys pay taxes. Only the little guys go to jail on these things.
Yeah.
Well, and the pardons continue unabated. The list of if you've committed fraud and stolen a lot of money, you're ripe for a pardon by Donald J. Trump.
Well, you got to pay for it.
Yeah, but it's a great deal. You steal $20 million, you pay him one, and that's 5%. That's better than
that's 2%, better than the contract. The
2.5% on the contract.
Yeah.
I used to cynically say that if you're going to steal money and you're going to go to jail for 10 years, don't steal 10 grand. steal $100,000, right?
Well, that's the mistake that the Scranton mayors made. They stole too little.
Yeah, well, Bill Courtright. He was just, of course, that kind of money isn't around here, but, two-bit politicians, thieves.
Well, and that's why you really can't condemn Bresnahan, because he's making a very good point. If he had to live up to his own propaganda, what would he do with his money?
Well, he said if he couldn't do insider training, he'd go broke.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's whatever. I was telling this political consultant in my meeting in Philadelphia that, he's trying very hard to lose this race. And they feel that he's dead man walking in the race. I don't know. There was a demonstration on Courthouse Square this week for his birthday, an anti-Bresnahan demonstration the other day on that. And again, they were using the corruption argument, and the Democrats have to keep pressing that.
But that's already more imaginative campaigning than I've seen out of the Democrats in Lackawanna County in a very long time.
Yeah, well, the county Democrats are so split, but don't forget the Republicans are no great shakes either.
That's true.
They're pretty hapless. They don't have great candidates, and they really don't have a great base.
Well, that's even true up in my county, which, went 65% for Trump. And Lisa Baker is a woman who's been in office in the state Senate for years and years and years. And she's a relatively inoffensive, hardline Republican. She has a leadership position. She's being opposed by a MAGA guy whose signs say a true conservative. That's the campaign, a true conservative. And there are signs all over the northern part of the county that the churches have put up. A bunch of very right-wing churches have put up.
Yeah, well, I was at a luncheon with Lisa Baker 2 weeks ago, and her main opposition is this MAGA guy. And
yeah,
he's,
that's the guy I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. And she said that she's feeling fairly confident, but she shouldn't be that confident. These folks are intense. The question is, are there really enough of them that will come out in the primary? And that's the whole thing. We don't know. He is very, very MAGA. He's big on guns. He's the abortion issue is near the top of his list.
And the libraries. This group purged the library board, kicked out the people who were the majority of the board, because they refused to purge the library stacks of what they called trans ideology, a gay ideology, an ideology that doesn't exist. But they took over the board and they control the library system in the county now. And it's these churches. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know if it always works its way out.
Yeah, we're not sure.
Bad things don't fall unless you knock them down.
Yeah. And you have to take them seriously enough.
Yep, exactly.
Don't let them get a toehold.
Exactly. All right, we're done for this week. We'll see what happens next week, and we'll see you next week.
I'll be able to report on my venture in the Supreme Court.
Well, and congratulations for becoming a member of the bar of the Supreme Court. You're a member of the bar elsewhere.
My daughter as well.
Congratulations to everybody.
Okay. See you next week.
See you next week. You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.